freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? And wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
Judge not, and lest not ye be judged. Same note, same noise, same story. It's bad, it's terrible. That's what they want you to think, but that's not the truth. The truth is that things aren't as bad as they appear on the outside. Because things are only as good as they are inside of you and how you live your life and with those around you. How do you treat those? Do you respect others? Do you love others? That's what we should be doing. But instead we fight, we point fingers. We always blame somebody else. Oh, it's this protester. Yeah, it's this guy over here. It's the cops. It's the cops. Blame all the cops. Guess what? Neither side's right. We're talking about individuals here. We have to forget that there's these organizations and you know, everybody gets lumped into this category or that category. But we're all the same thing. We are all the exact same thing. And yet, for whatever reason, we're going to get off into these corners and then point fingers back and forth at each other. While the government does what they want, when they want. Do you realize that in Syria, in the past 48 hours, U.S. bombs killed over 55 people, 56. The reports go up, all civilians, at least 11 children. Your tax dollars paid for that. Paid for that nonsense. It's July the 19th, 2016. I'm going to go ahead and bring on our co-host, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, what's up?
Living the dream all day, every day.
Loving it.
Not a lot about loving it. Did you get a chance to watch the RNC last night? The Republican National Convention.
I thought I was going to be okay. You know, I've talked about it forever. I can't wait. I can't wait. And it finally gets down to the moment. I was like, nope.
Yeah, rather anticlimactic. I think a lot of people, that's kind of the feel that I got from social media today, that everybody's just really burnt out on it, and it finally came and went, and nobody got shot, and there was nobody threw a hand grenade in the middle of the crowd, and, you know, just, it was a pretty lackluster affair. Very well orchestrated, very well planned, paint by the numbers, just, I don't know, just a dull party. Didn't seem like anywhere I would have liked to have gone, even though I was invited. But we'll get to that later in the show.
So,
So, I mean, you know, and again, really, it's kind of funny because the only drama left that we have is going to be at the Democratic National Convention as far as the folks that got burned.
Man,
the sea of a chorus of millions and millions and millions of people. And it's going to be interesting to see which way they go to the polls now. There's even though Bernie has cast his hat in the ring with Hillary and is going to stand behind Hillary no matter what, you know, that's the will of the party, then so be it. And we know that she has done everything she can to make sure that's the will of the party. Wink.
Well, she's still not going to be president.
Mm. I don't know. You know, I used to debate you on this hot and heavy, but I'm beginning to think you're right. President Trump. Ugh.
Yeah.
But then again, President Clinton.
Well,
I mean,
we at least said that those words.
It's before. Cancer or a heart attack, man. Which way you want to go?
That's true. I'm sitting here trying to looking over the highlights.
And there's a lot of highlights.
According to CNN.
Screw CNN. Go to www.theantimedia.org and get you some news there. We have quite a few stories that we're going to reference tonight up because in the middle of the Trump debacle and the fact that Melania stole the speech from Miss Obama, and I can't believe that you would do such a thing, and, man, she is just the latest in a long line of people. You know, remember how many politicians did the Clinton? Remember when Clinton would clench his fist and have his thumb slightly out? Remember how many politicians, Republican and Democrat, that stole that little move, that signature move that he did when they talked to people? Because it looked so cool when Clinton did it.
Oh, everybody stole it.
I mean, seriously, and it's very non-threatening. Somebody's got their fist at you, but their thumb's up just a little bit. It's like, man, chill out, though, but I got a point to make here. My fist is ready, but I'm not going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
So
it's interesting to me now if Clinton actually does show up in the general polls, and suddenly there's going to be some drama, some major, major, major drama. And, of course, it's just going to confirm what we already know, that, you know, this whole thing is rigged anyways. That's why Clinton is where she's at right now to this point. But if Trump wins, then I guess there is a little hope that maybe the system is real after all, right?
Well,
you don't think he's not going to roll over and lay down the minute he gets there and do exactly what they tell him to do? You're sadly mistaken.
Right.
Now, he may give some of that crazy rhetoric and this, that, and the other in front of the TV cameras, but behind the scenes, business as usual will continue to, run the United States government. Corporate bought and paid for. And now the big business has one of their own sitting in the big chair. Of course, they've had one of their own sitting in the big chair for a while now. Remember G-Dub?
Oh, well. Jeb with an exclamation point. Where is he?
Jeb. Oh, man.
I wish he'd come back. Who ever thought they'd say that?
Is Marco Rubio going to speak at the Republican National Convention?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Don King is.
He was a very prominent Republican there for a few months. Him and Ted Cruz. Remember, yeah. Whatever happened to that guy? Ted Cruz is, I mean, where is he? Have you seen him or heard from him anywhere?
Mm-mm.
That was a crushing defeat. Bless his heart. Yeah. He really honestly thought he was going to win.
Yeah, he went away.
Yeah. Because some people in some suits pulled him in the back room and told him, you're going to win. Did the same thing with Marco, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was Nick's pony, Nick Burnaby. He found
me and him both. I thought that.
Yeah.
Well, Nick had the told me. And
on paper, it looked like both of you were right. But this is we're seeing American politics at its absolute zenith of just crazy with this particular election, with what who we have left. But meanwhile, while all this hoopla is going on, this little wrestling match that everybody keeps talking about is going on, we've still got some major, major, major stuff brewing in the Middle East right now.
Oh, it's unreal.
The Turkish coup.
Timing on that with the 28 pages.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like everything all at once. All right, you tinfoil hat people, here's your pages, and guess what? Guess what we're fixing to do?
Oh, right, but redacted. And then I was out of town this weekend, and where I was at, they had on headline news, and said something about...
You were in Alabama, and somebody had headline news in a public place, really?
Nashville.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. It's all Fox down here, baby.
So, anyway, they said all the 28 pages got released, blah, 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 blah. But it's no big deal. Everybody's okay. Go back to sleep. And that was it. Like, that was the whole thing. Like, whatever. And then some Saudi foreign minister made a comment like, oh, I told you we were innocent. And that was it. Like, just shoved it to the side.
And we haven't even gotten to the war that's being fought on American streets right now, on American soil. And we now have law enforcement casualties. This ain't good, man. There have been a few people that have speculated that, well, okay, well, that's what happens when you poke the bear hard enough. But man, there needs to be some real serious change, that's happening. And not just with, you know, the African American communities or black communities, because I know some folks that don't like to be referred to as African American. Black folks have, and, you know, there is a fevered pitch there, but you kind of have to take a step back and realize that this is a system-wide problem. And it's mainly, I hate to say it, but mainly the poorer you are in America, the more of a chance you're going to have a run-in with the law.
Oh, sure, certainly.
And it's going to be a life-affecting, life-changing event. Because there's going to be a lot of fines that you can't pay, a lawyer that you can't pay for. Somebody's going to have to hawk a house. Somebody's going to have to sell some stuff off, you know. And that's if you're able to do that. There's a lot of folks that can't, and they get trapped in the system. It's funny how that works. A form of slavery. And that's going to continue no matter who you vote for, whether you're Republican or Democrat. That's where we're headed. And you can go ahead and keep working. I'm a working American. I'm the backbone of this nation. I am. I'm a working American. I'm a plumber by trade. I make zero money from doing this job. I do this, for anti-media, but just simply for the love of it. So yeah, I'm a member of the working poor. So let me go ahead and just speak up real quick. Yeah, we're being screwed. We're being screwed by all sides, particularly by the United States government. They have taxed and fined us to death. And there's no way, even if we don't have to pay the fines and we get a, you know, little tax break on our taxes. You know, Justin King, who's with the Fifth Column, he posted something on social media recently that was a breakdown, I believe, from McDonald's on how much a person that makes minimum wage has to work in order to survive. Now, first off, the numbers are hilarious. And basically, what it broke down to is that you had to work two jobs, a total of about 72 hours a week, 72 or 75 hours a week, something like that. And out of that, you pretty much had a breakdown that had you saving like $27 a week. Did not include, you know, incidentals like gas and upkeep of your vehicle and a few other things. But I mean, you know, even someone who makes in the, let's say, 40 to 50,000 range, and you break it down with how much they pay in rent, how much they pay in car payment, insurance, all the health insurance that is now mandatory and required by the United States government. All of the incidentals, everything, you're doing damn good to break even at the end of the month. And God help you if you have any revolving debt, you know, or not revolving debt, but your, you know, credit cards and, or a mortgage payment or something along those lines. I mean, enough's enough. We live in a country where at one point in time, you could work minimum wage and be, and afford to buy a house. To actually save, to put your kids through college, you know, and it, you know, what happened?
Those days are gone.
Why the divide between the haves and the have-nots? That's what, those are the questions we need to start asking ourselves when we start discussing some of these other issues. Because the haves are running rampant all over the world right now. For what?
Greed.
And your sons and your daughters, in the form of soldiers, in the form of law enforcement, are dropping like flies, meat in a grinder. And that's sad. That's not where I want my tax dollars to go, the tax dollars that are yanked from me by force. If you don't believe me, go try to pay your for your groceries if you live in a state like we do that charges you taxes on your groceries. And tell them that you're going to skip the taxes. Well, you're going to take a couple things out of that card.
Tax dollars by force. Think about the Syrian rebel business. On video beheading this little kid.
Yeah.
That's bonkers.
Yeah.
And our tax dollars pay for that. That's just really, really, really disgusting. Why a group of people allow that kind of behavior to go on.
Why are we still in the Middle East?
I don't know.
I mean, really, why are we still in the Middle East? At the end of the day.
We're in Afghanistan because of opium, I think.
Yes. For the resources that we can glean from the land. Land that is not ours.
And I get the oil thing. But yeah. That's played out by now, isn't it?
Of course it is. Especially with it when you're sitting on the oil reserves of the United States is.
Sure.
You know, I mean, there's not oil in other parts of the world up outside the United States that we can't buy from. Well, can't get it from Venezuela no more.
Well,
everybody's still a little sore down there. Yeah.
Why, though? My question to you is why are we? There's people in the streets finally, but are they in the streets for the right reasons, or does it matter at all? If it's the
other
right
people in the street that are just there to be in the street because some other people are in the street. You know, there's a lot of that going on these days.
Right.
Did you watch the Republican National Convention?
Melania.
Who cares?
Who
cares about either one of them? Because it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Nothing is going to get changed. If Trump or Clinton are in office, it's going to be more of the same. Bet your bottom dollar on it. So with Trump, we might get a wall out of the deal that Mexico is going to build.
Right. I think that's going to happen.
Oh, man.
We know that's never going to take place.
Well, you know, at the same time, public opinion has some weird, I don't know, it's doing some weird things these days. I mean, you stood in that very same room here in Birmingham and heard all those people that were screaming and hollering for a while. You heard it with your own ears. You were there. You saw it. Wrote a story about it.
Yeah.
Seemed to be pretty popular at the moment, didn't it? And then you go out and about and you talk to folks. Oh, man, a wall's a great idea. I don't know why we hadn't had a wall before. Why stop there? Why not just put a wall up between each state? Each town start putting their own wall up.
They should do that.
Ask some people from Berlin how they feel about walls. Because walls work two ways. Not just one. We need a wall up around Canada. All that great pot they're growing up there is finding its way down here in the United States. Think of the children.
I don't know, man.
Think of the children. I mean, you know. I'm sure there's a meme about it somewhere. A dank meme at that. I mean, I hate to be so somber and I hate to be so just down in the dumps about it, but I mean, that's where we're at right now. We need to start discussing alternatives. People need to start talking first. You know, that's the only way that we're going to be able to work through race relations in 2016 America is conversation, an honest conversation, not just a bunch of screaming and shouting at one another. Bunch of guns drawn. Because honestly, I don't care how you feel about law enforcement in this country. You know, those people, they didn't deserve to die. Just like the just like the many people unarmed that are dying at the hands of lazy police officers all across the nation. When I say lazy police officers, they don't feel like running after nobody. They don't feel like explaining themselves to somebody. If they see fit, they can shoot you and make up a story about it afterwards. We've seen this time and time and time again. Let's call it what it is.
It's murder.
Exactly.
It's 100% murder.
Unchecked. Why are you going to punish a dog that you trained to kill?
Well, they don't.
No, they don't. And that's exactly why they don't.
No, I know. I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and bring on to the line our wonderful co-host, Kevin. Kevin, what's up?
What up? Pizza rolls, man. How are y'all doing this season?
Oh, man, I want some pizza rolls right about now.
Hey, man, you have no idea how good these are.
Yeah, you can just shut up about that now.
Delicious. Anyways, man, yeah, glad to be hanging out with you guys tonight.
Well, you're here in spirit, and I can hear your voice, so that's good enough.
Hey, it's close, right?
Yeah, and I don't have to smell you, so that's great.
You telling me?
You usually smell very nice, Kevin. All right,
Thank you, I try.
To commend you on that.
It's like grease and work.
So, Kevin.
Yeah, man, how's the show going?
Well, it's I don't know. We just got all dark and dreary. We haven't got to the point where we're talking about Alabama football or wrestling yet, so I'm pretty sure we'll perk up then.
Roll Tide, baby.
Roll Tide all day long. But RNC, did you get a chance to force yourself to watch a little bit of that putrid fun event?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, it's on here at the house.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes.
I watched.
It turned out, yeah, I watched just a little bit of it. Watched Alaska freak out about a way a procedural movement that happened where they want to make sure they had their votes counted. But, you know, and of course they had the pundits talking about how these goofballs in Alaska were wanting.
Right.
Yeah, they want their votes counted right. And the people at Fox News were like, how dare they? The stupidity of these people who want their votes counted. You know, we already know Donald Trump is going to be the president. You know, anyway, it's just kind of an attitude that you kind of more or less expect from those news anchors in particular. But yeah, I've seen a little bit of it. Seems like it's been a riot for sure, huh?
Yeah. yeah, and of course, Melania Trump's speech. Everybody is blown up social media about that today. The latest orangutan attack, as I like to refer to it.
Yeah, it's funny. Harabi or something. I saw a meme earlier that said, stay woke, my brothers, that all the shootings were false flags to take the care and concern off of who killed Harambe. Is that his name? The gorilla that got killed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It didn't happen, but I guess it does. Anyways.
Well, you know, I'm about sick of it myself. I'm very proud to say that I have not seen one single minute of the Republican National Convention, and I feel so much better for it.
Hey, I don't blame you. I don't sound like we missed very much. My wife actually was, she's out of town, and I've been working a lot, so I've not been able to catch most of it, but she was asking me about it. Apparently, she'd seen some of the headlines too. So I've been able to catch up a little bit of it as she's been filling me in, but, I did see Stephen Colbert come out there, playing, I guess, a character from, I guess was the movie, I know y'all know it, come on, man, Hunger Games. Did you happen to see that?
Well, I'm like one of the last Americans that has not seen Hunger Games.
Really? Man, it's a good little flick.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm weird about movies. I'm kind of a movie snob. I find stuff and I kind of stick with it. I'm a big Tarantino fan, so that tells me.
Yeah, I don't blame my wife is. I'm not a big Tarantino fan. I like a few flicks, but yeah, not in general. His I don't know. I guess you are. You're not. But yeah. Anyways, he went through his little stint. Has he been very vocal about Black Lives Matter lately? You know, we saw him last time. He was making a fuss. He was up in New York, you know, right before, I guess, it was one of his last movies came out. And he was being kind of called out.
Oh, Eight, I believe, was the movie you're talking about.
That's it. So has he been on board, or has he said anything else lately, speaking of Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. I think he probably got a little bit nervous after the last response that he had, even though publicly, he didn't really back down from his stance, but it seems like he has been a little bit less vocal, because I'm sorry, you just can't make waves in that arena these days without some sort of blowback.
No, it's bad for business.
Yeah.
Period. You know?
And you know, it kind of goes to show that regardless of, and you're going to start seeing more and more of this, particularly in a Trump presidency. Any argument of any kind of authority whatsoever, and you got to be taken out. And, you know, we're seeing that now. If anyone is in any way critical of police officers in this day and age, you're pretty much put on a list right off the bat.
Oh, yeah. It apparently doesn't take very much. And if it's not the list that the federal government is doing, it's the list that your neighbors are compiling in their head, you know, when you have the conversation at the, you know, whether it be in the local Facebook group or at the stop sign at the end of the road, you know, this day and age, if you criticize law enforcement to any degree, sometimes, and it's growing even more and more of a thing that's happening, really, I mean, the frequency in which I see it is almost appalling. Did you know, you hate police. That is the, you're already indicted. If you criticize police or law enforcement, whether you criticize an individual for the actions that they've taken, if you criticize the general police policy, you know, the next thing you're being told is that you obviously hate the police. And, you know, and that's such a false paradigm that's being set up here, and it's a shame that so many people are being forced into one or the other. It really, really is.
Well, and everybody has to pick a side, you know, whether you're gay or straight, or whether you're white or black, or whether you're Republican or Democrat, or whether you're for Alabama or Auburn, Roll Tide. You have to pick a side. You have to. You know,
yeah, you're being forced to.
It's this constant, you know, and one side's good and one side's evil, but the side that's evil thinks that they're good, and so on and so forth, and vice versa. And I mean, it's with everything. Every single little thing has been, you know, put in this little compartment now. You know, regardless of every idea we have and every, you know what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah, completely. Well, and that's what bothers me about the, you know, I think anybody is obviously perturbed. Anybody who has even the smallest of heart and the smallest of sanity is bothered by the shooting and the killing of innocent people, regardless, you know, if they're police officers or
both sides,
or civilians, you know, everybody's sick of that, and everybody understands that that's a big issue. You know, but people at this point, you know, there's so many people that are not paying attention that we need to make sure that we remember that everybody doesn't, we don't always have the answer. I know I don't have the answer to the problem, but the way this, a lot of this stuff is being carried out the complete wrong way. It's a shame, man. It really is the way that we're heading. But, you know, what can you do? Trump's going to make it safe, make America safe again. Is that what the slogan is now? Make America safe again?
Safe again, yes.
Right, safe again. Gotcha, okay.
Very important distinction there.
Yeah, I'm glad you, if I start to get that wrong, make sure to please verbally slap me down.
We've got so used to making America great again. And, you know, I guess we're already great, so that's good. We got that out of the way.
Right, definitely. And yet we're facing some of the biggest, what do you think? Constantly, if you watch the mainstream media, and, you know, and there's people in society that would tell you this, that America has never been as fractionally split between groups of people, whether it be between rich and the poor, black and white, elements of smaller minorities, whoever. I don't see it as much as an issue, but apparently the U.S. is about to explode. But back to, you know, what you were saying a minute ago about being forced to be on one side or the other. That's one of the things that really bothers me as we keep seeing more stuff blow up, is that you and I, and a lot of the other anti-media people associated, you know, a lot of these, this day and age, as I'm saying, you're automatically considered anti-police if you make you criticize something. But how many people are going to be forced into a position where they're going to feel like if they say something about police, they're going to be pushed into that corner? But you got people that are going to feel like that if it, once it gets bad enough, you're going to feel like people have no choice but to join a side, and that's what bothers me.
Kind of feels like that's where we're at right now. It seems like the press is harder and harder these days to pick a side. And if you're not automatically on my side, then you must be on that side. I don't care what you're trying to tell me, because you're a crazy person and you belong over there. I don't care what else you have to say about it. It's like when I discuss the whole political thing, as far as whether I'm a Republican or Democrat, which I'm neither. And then, you know, the mudslinging, we've talked about it on air before.
Oh, of course. You know, probably a lot of the listeners know exactly what you're talking about, too. You know, it's nothing.
They get those conversations daily with family members, with coworkers, yada, yada.
Oh, of course. It comes with the territory, that's for sure. If you don't wear the R or the D cap, then it's probably a conversation you're used to having. If you're not used to having it, then you should be. And if you're not, you should, need to work on something, and make sure that your position's well known. If you're so inclined to be out there, trying to win hearts and minds, that is. If you're not, and you're just hanging and listening, cool, do your thing. But so, what else is on the agenda, man? What have you been? What have you guys been up to at the station tonight?
Well, one thing that we were talking about beforehand, and we were hoping to get the article's author on air, the lovely Miss Carrie Wheeler, who had a previous engagement tonight, but her story on www.theantimedia.org, the WikiLeaks story that they were prepping to release a bunch of documents about the Turkish coup. I've had three cups of coffee, so my enunciation.
Hey, it's understood, man.
My enunciation's a little different. All the caffeine's starting to kick in at once.
That's all, Bob.
Yeah, but apparently they are under attack, or the WikiLeaks site is under heavy fire right now.
Saw that.
Yeah, that's a very interesting story, because in the middle of talking about Melania Trump and all of the other, and of course the. The law enforcement deaths that we've had recently throughout the country. We've kind of, that whole Turkey thing just kind of came and went like that, like just a little blip on the radar as far as the news radar. And let's get back to the Trump show, and let's get back to, you know, protesters and police clashing in the streets. Very strange, too, because that also happened right at the same time as the 28 redacted pages or 29 redacted pages suddenly being unredacted for the most part.
Right, yeah, right there in that same little window of time.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. It came and went back to Trump, back to the RNC. Although I'm really not surprised. You know, there's so much conflicting information coming out about the Turkey situation, about who knew what, who knew when, about their presidents, you know, grabbing control and grabbing more control and really taking over and seizing power. You know, arguments about whether or not it was a coup, whether or not it was known, who was known by. So, yeah, it's a messy situation. But, you know, the one thing we're seeing, as we always see, is that dictators grab more power. Anytime these situations come up, you know, power grabs power. They don't give it up willingly. And it looks like we're seeing more of that, and seeing it enforced, you know, especially dictatorial law. And that's from one of the United States' allies, you know, Turkey, of course, doing a lot of business with ISIS and really buying a lot of their oil that's really funding a lot of ISIS's operations. So, yeah, it's Western diplomacy and American interest involved there, right?
Which begs the question, why are we still in the Middle East? Can't be just about oil anymore. I mean, we got a bunch of places we can get oil other than the Middle East.
Definitely.
And if I remember correctly, and you, Kevin, you might be a little bit more versed on the actual number, but isn't it like 20% of the oil that we consume here in the United States comes from the Middle Eastern region?
I really couldn't tell you, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It would surprise me. I know it's it seems like a lot of it changes. You never really know how much we're buying from different places. But
around the time that we discovered the large oil reserve down in the Gulf of Mexico, and we saw the dramatic price drop in gas. I remember that because Mr. Gibson was up in Seattle, and I was visiting with him, and which they were a lot more expensive than here in Birmingham, Alabama, which we brought from. But, it dropped to it was close to $3 when I got there, and by the time I left, it was hovering around $2.
That's a big drop.
Yeah, that was a big drop that hasn't really quite gotten back up there yet. Bought some gas today, and I still paid under $2 a gallon.
We know OPEC's strength, all their hold they've had, or they had at one point in time, a lot of that's being challenged so much. You know, so many countries are finding oil and continuing to, you know, whereas OPEC, you know, kind of came together and controlled prices a lot more, a lot of other countries are saying, you know, screw it. You know, the Saudis in particular are saying, you know, we're not worried about crashing the oil market. We need money. And so they're continuing to drill, you know, and continuing to put out oil. So, you know, there's so much oil on the market right now that the price is, you know, of course, collapsed. And who knows? You know, it's probably going to continue to do so.
That's crazy stuff. Crazy stuff.
Can you imagine if we paid the actual price that oil should be costing, should cost the American taxpayer?
You mean without all the taxes and tariffs and things that are added onto it when we go to pump up?
Yeah, right. Compared to you know, what other countries pay. You know, we're using the petrodollar. In hindsight, I asked that question, and I really don't know how you would actually come up with an answer, but I know I've seen this theory or this question posed many times in online discussions. You know, can you imagine any time really that the gas price really gets back up to its $4 kind of highs, people start asking those questions about, you know, hey, what do we do to get rid of this stuff, and how can we find a different source of oil? So,
yeah,
as long as it's down, we're not looking, are we?
And all those dank memes that we see about Obama fixing the gas prices, you know, I know you've seen the one where he's kind of winking at the camera and pointing at the camera and thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for dropping the gas prices or something like that.
Smooth operator he is.
Yeah, yeah. He had everything to do with that. So, yeah, you raised a very, very interesting point about the, you know, the diminished price of I'm sorry, we're shuffling here in the studio a little bit. That's a very good point. Excellent point.
gas prices. It's been a while, though, man. I've been thankful for how low they are, but yeah.
You've been thankful, yeah. I think we are.
How low they are.
It's funny how.
But, you know, it's funny that we, you know, this is when we usually hear a lot about coal miners being out of jobs. You know, it wasn't too long ago Hillary Clinton made her statement that if she was elected, I think was her reference, that they were going to put oil, big oil, out of business. You know, at a time where oil is really getting, where the Obama administration is not renewing, to my understanding, a lot of the permits for offshore drilling, gas is still at a real low price, which goes, you know, we import so much of it, like you were saying a minute ago, that the price is going to continue to go down even lower. So with that and natural gas falling, you know, natural gas is still priced so great right now, and that's one thing that's making oil. It's giving it some competition. I think we'll see more natural gas popping up in the next few years. So it's going to be a really exciting time for energy in general, see what kind of other options we're going to see here in the next few years.
Well, and again, though, the you know, it can't be stressed enough, natural gas is also fracking, and fracking has wreaked all sorts of environmental hazards whenever fracking has taking place near a populated area, particularly with a water supply.
People would hate, you guys probably would hate me if you knew my thoughts on that, but on fracking.
Well, again, we all say it. The reason
I say that for another conversation off the record.
Like that, because we are here in Alabama, in central Alabama, we're sitting on one of the largest natural shale formations in North America. In the St. Clair County region, that's been reported for a few years now. You have a lot of people up there that have leased mineral rights to their property.
I don't doubt that. A lot of people will be surprised they don't already have them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right, people. If you're listening to that, you do not own the property below your, unless you've of course purchased it, and that. My understanding usually does not come when you purchase your property, so chances are, unless you know about it, you probably don't. But you don't own the land beneath your grass, so you own everything basically the grass and up, but below the grass and down, generally speaking, you don't own.
And you don't own the air that you breathe, you don't own the raindrops that come down on your property, yada yada.
Right. Well, that's pretty, yeah, right. You're being a smart ass to me.
No, I'm telling the truth, man.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's they're trying to make it illegal in more than one place now to, of course, collect rainwater or to collect the sun, via solar. So the state does.
Well, fun fact, I'm actually an FCC cardholder, believe it or not. I have a license.
Give me long enough, and I will tell you what FCC stands for, and you'll refuse to be identified as a cardholder of such.
It seemed like a good idea. I was young, man. I was young and needed the money.
I don't really know what it is, but fill us in. FCC is the
cardholder, and one of the things you learn when you study mass communications and broadcasting and things like that in college is, the government owns all of the airwaves, and they own not only just the airwaves, but the air that it travels through. It's yet another example of taxation is theft.
That's it.
Yep.
If you don't, chances are you probably don't own it, whatever it is.
Because everything we bitched about, our tax dollars are paid for, our own money. We're bitching about how our money's being spent right now. That's what we spent the first hour of the show doing. Oh, great.
But just you obviously.
Sour mood tonight.
Well, you should go move to Somalia if you don't like it.
Ooh. Okay, fine. I'll put up with it. Where's my cable TV at? My roads. Oh, man. What else is going on in your corner, Kevin? What has kept your interest in the news lately?
Man, I'm a little curious about the situation in... You know, the guy, I think it's interesting that I believe the anti-media may have also posted about this. I know I saw the fifth column, I think, possibly mentioned this. But one thing that I know the right-wing media has been such in a rush to label all of these shooting of police officers by black individuals all ads obviously racially motivated, and I wouldn't say they're not, or at least most of them. Depends on how many you're actually talking about. But it's funny that there's one single fact that a lot of the media is not at all not mentioning, and it's the fact that these guys were Marines, were former service members that apparently had some issues with possibly mental, mental issues of some degree. So.
Yeah, we tend to always skim over that sort of thing when we talk about mass shootings in America, as far as the, and we've touched upon it on this show, that, you know, not only military trained, but also in some cases with history of some sort of mental instability or are currently taking some sort of FDA-approved medication that may cause suicide, one little small side effect. And I guess, you know, if you're a soldier, what better way to commit suicide?
Right, than give out like that.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
these guys did.
Again, what it is.
It's interesting. I watched a video by this guy who I'd actually, this last guy that did the, the supposed rampage down in Baton Rouge. And I actually saw, it's funny, the one thing I was curious about was to find out where the official narrative started. You know, so often we see the official narrative by the time an event like this starts, and by the time it's over with, it's completely in shambles. Whether or not, you know, a lot of people are quick to rush and say it was intentional, but, you know, there's the whole fog of an event that happens shortly after an event that everybody's rushing to get details. You know, some people assume and presume before they really know the truth. So for whatever reasons, a lot of times facts get kind of misconstrued. So I've heard some alternative versions about what actually happened in Baton Rouge. So I'm curious a little bit about to hear the narrative, the official narrative, and that is what the police actually have to say about the event and how it actually went down. So I myself plan to look a little bit further into that. But I thought it was interesting. I watched the video of the shooter. And he made a video basically talking about how he was not to be associated, or he wished not to be associated with all these various groups that that one might associate with him. It almost sounds like he was speaking prophetically about a future incident, that if for whatever reason, if he was to be remembered post-mortem, that he was afraid that he would possibly bring negative attention to these other groups, including the Black Lives Matter and the Nation of Islam. But it's interesting that he almost had a disdain for being linked to those groups because he was selling himself and some particular brand that he was pushing. So, you know, I think it's interesting. I keep seeing these videos pop up about how this guy was, he used to be a Black Panther, he used to be a Nation of Islam member. He used to be a Black Lives Matter guy. And apparently that may be true, but it doesn't necessarily sound like he still does. Anyways, I thought it was interesting. We keep seeing more of these murders, man. You really can't call it anything else. Individual lives being taken as I guess retribution for injustice seen by certain people. But this is definitely, I think most of us would agree, definitely not the way to go about it. It definitely doesn't bring anybody back, and it doesn't make law enforcement suddenly decide, hey, we're going to change whatever policy leads to, you know, to a change in who's to say, you know, can law enforcement always change the perception of the public? You know, do they even think that they can? So, you know, I don't think we expect police to decide to change their tactics tomorrow because individuals are dying that are on their team. So,
yeah, sides, again, everybody's got to pick a side.
Yeah, really. What side are you on?
I'm on my side.
Oh, I had to ask.
Well, fair enough. Well, all of our problems that we have and all of the solutions apparently that we have are all fear-based. I'm sick of it, man.
Yeah, you're right, man. Fear and emotion.
Yeah, emotion. Oh, my God, the feels. Oh, the feels. What do you think the Democratic National Convention is going to be like with all the feels up in there, all the burns?
Oh my gosh, who knows? Who knows?
The right.
I mean, you know, I think I've seen some recent polls where, you know, they're probably going to do the same thing the Republicans do, come together, have a kumbaya movement. Everybody realized, well, hey, the infighting's over. Let's coalesce around the main guy. So, yeah, I think probably the Bernie people will, you know, as much as he had some really devout followers, dude, you know, his followers are nothing like Ron Paul's camp was. Those guys are legit followers, you know. So, and, of course, Ron didn't go out and endorse Romney, the base or the equivalent of, so. You know, I'm going to be surprised if they go and jump ship happily to Clinton, whoever's, you know, a lot of them are, no Trump, as long as they don't have Trump, that'll be the move they make, so.
So, do we see, is this the election that we finally see the big push for a third party candidate, or at least see a better showing than the average third party candidate that we've had in the past?
We've already seen it. I mean, you know, Gary Johnson right now is polling like 13%, which is 2% away from what he needs to be in the national debates, according to the Presidential Debate Commission. So that in itself is already showing that the Libertarian Party has gained more of at least a public following between peoples at home than what they had of any previous year. So. Looks promising. Don't expect him to win by any means, but there's a lot of behind the baseball that's being played to bring a third party message to the American people. So it's got to be done one way or a multitude of ways. So this is definitely one way that it's happening.
Jill Stein has popped up in a lot of conversations recently too. Seems like she has gained a little bit of momentum as your your alternative woman candidate. But you know, of course. I've seen a lot of things that I like out of Jill Stein.
Oh yeah, she's got some good ideas. She's more or less, I'd say, a more devout and a more I won't say pragmatic Bernie Sanders. You know, they've got a lot of similarities. She recently had a piece I was reading where she Bernie refused to even come or to address or. Even accept the idea that the Green Party was trying to make contact or coalition with him. He refused to even acknowledge that they had attempted to even meet. So yeah, but their views are really similar, but he's a little more pragmatic where he's willing to join the Libertarian. He's willing to do his thing within the Democratic Party and do it however he's got to do it, whereas Jill Stein is more dedicated to the third party push as a means for her idea of reform. But, yeah, she's made some stirring. But that's probably still, it's on the back of all the wave that we're seeing from the people that they're not your genuine, usual R&D candidates. You know, they're R&D, but we're seeing different candidates, and we're seeing an anti-establishment push, or at least the skeleton of what was one. So, yeah, I think that's probably a little bit of the reason why the Libertarian Party and, of course, the Green Party are getting a little bit of a ride on the back of. Good stuff, though, man. It's happening. It should.
Well, and do you think a lot of your people that are feeling a little bit burned are going to go third party, or do you think they're going to just say, screw it, I want to watch the world burn and vote Trump? How do you think that's going to play out?
Well, that's the same, man. The people that are, we talked about this a few weeks ago, the people that were true Ron Paul fans, they would stick it out and vote for Ron or not, but they wouldn't go turn around and vote for his enemy and wouldn't go, and go for the opposite, definitely the more establishment character. And I say that only to compare the two because that's what they often get compared. And so I don't think a lot of the people that are going to go vote for Clinton, I don't think they're diehard Bernie supporters. I mean, there's a lot of Bernie supporters that are new Bernie supporters. And let's face it, these guys probably just got on the bandwagon last year. They've got, you know, a Bernie sticker in their back window, and they've got all the whatever kind of insignia and stuff comes with the territory. But they probably really couldn't explain to you his policies or what they meant regardless. So I think it'll be them that actually go and vote for Clinton regardless, just because they're going to vote Democrat. A lot of people are generally going to vote not to vote for Trump, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
no surprise there.
Yeah. And you know, which vote is the, we know a vote for Clinton is not necessarily a protest vote, but, you know, you're still going to have some people that are going to have, well, Trump is the real anti-establishment candidate, even though he is the living embodiment of the establishment.
Right. You know what bothers me, too, and I think it's a decent argument, is the Supreme Court angle of it all. The idea that, you know, we've got one Supreme Court justice that just died, of course, with Scalia, and now one needs to be replaced. And would you rather one be replaced by Trump, or one would you rather be replaced by Hillary? You know, obviously we could argue that, that it probably wouldn't have been much of a difference 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. We'd hope there would be a big difference now, but, you know, that's one of the arguments that I hear the most oftentimes, that, that, hey, it's the Supreme Court of Justice. We don't really like Trump, but, hey, this is what we got to do, so.
Yep, again, it comes back to the age-old question. Do you want to die of cancer or do you want to die of a heart attack?
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, good luck with all that.
Mm.
Well, we are approaching the end of our first hour. We are going to take a quick break, and we are going to come right back. Stay tuned. And welcome back to the second hour of the Anti-Media Radio Show. I'm your co-host, Mr. Shannon Madden. Mr. Gibson will be back on momentarily. We were discussing in the first hour a little bit of, a little bit of everything. We've discussed the Trump is officially the Republican nominee. Yay! Yay! He finally made it. And, Melania Trump ganked a speech. We have more cops, dead in the streets. We have more people being murdered daily over in the Middle East by all sorts of other people. That's where we're at in America right now. That's where we're at in the world right now. And I don't know. I don't know about you. I have just completely just, I don't know. I've just started to check out and tune into Netflix and start watching Trailer Park Boys. That's where I'm at with it right now. And I know that most of America is pretty much over it at this point. Now, whether they're over it enough or not to take it to the polls or stay at home or get online and scream about it, I don't know. There is a general feeling of apathy when it comes to the whole idea of voting. There's a whole general feel of just anger and frustration. You know, people working their fingers to the bones. For what? I mean, what is our great legacy? Donald Trump. The front runner for the president, the office of the president of the United States of America. Take a good look, America. This is the leader that you're crying out for. Bold, sexist, racist, crass. I mean, I can't think of another candidate. I'm really hard-pressed to think of a candidate that has actually got on a national platform with cameras pointed at his face and alluded to the size of his penis. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. Sorry about that. We are having some technical difficulties in the studio tonight. Thank you for bearing with us. Yeah, getting back to the matter at hand, it's really all about division and fear. And I just kind of want to touch on this for a minute. That fear has driven us to where we're at right now. We have, on the Democratic side of the fence, a whole chorus of people are afraid of this crazy madman, Donald Trump, who's going to build a wall up, who's going to divide us even further, who's going to suppress free speech at every twist and turn, particularly when it's anything that happens to be in contradiction to what he has going on, what he has to say, policies that he himself might try to, you know, enact when he's president. On the other side of that fence, we have Republicans, deathly afraid, and rightly so, of a Hillary Clinton in office with the highest death toll, the highest kill count of any presidential candidate that stood on the dais during the 2016 presidential campaign. Now, we also have third-party candidates available, but there's a lot of fear there that, well, my candidate's not going to win anyways. Because people have figured out that the system's rigged. It's rigged with corporate dollars, bought and paid for, politicians to enact laws and put things together to help their other rich friends that put them in the office stay even richer and expand the divide between the haves and the have-nots. It's insane. And here we are in the middle of it, having this discussion. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't claim to have the answer. Except for right now, the only thing I can think to do is stay out of it and start to prepare for what happens next. And I think that's a discussion that a lot of Americans need to be having right now. Instead of figuring out, whether Molina stole that speech or not, which she did, just like every other, you know, politician or any other person that has spoken to a national audience from a political standpoint. Everybody steals from everybody. I mean, you know, all the greatest songs in the world stole from somebody else. Led Zeppelin's in court about that right now. Stairway to Heaven. And that's not even the real news. Who cares about that? That shouldn't even be a discussion. The discussion needs to be taking place about what's happening on the streets of America right now. The fact that you have cops that are murdering unarmed citizens because they don't really feel like running after them, or they don't feel like, you know, trying to follow up on some information, or at least have a conversation with somebody before they just start shooting. And people are fed up. And that's why you're seeing people take to the streets. Now, as Kevin pointed out in the previous hour, that doesn't quite spell out why police officers are winding up dead right now. We've seen false flag after false flag after false flag, and it's very difficult to distinguish what's real, what's orchestrated, what's been set up for us to chase after and try to, well, you know, let's try to figure out what's going on right here. Sandy Hook Elementary, that's a perfect example. And just by merely asking those questions, you get put on the list. And like Kevin stated in the previous hour, it may be just be a list of friends and family. Oh, you need to watch out for him. He's got some crazy ideas about some things. And meanwhile, we have innocent police officers being murdered on the streets. Innocent, and by innocent, I mean police officers that haven't killed anybody, police officers that haven't dragged anybody out in broad daylight by their hair because their taillight was out, or they ran too far over a stop sign. And if you happen to be a person of color living in this country, those interactions with the police are a lot more hairy. They often have very negative outcomes. And some of those outcomes, they wind up with an innocent person losing their life. And I'm not saying, I can't say that every person that was killed by police so far in this year, 2016, I can't say that every single one of them was innocent, that every single one of them didn't have some sort of repercussion coming. You know, police do face dangerous people day in and day out. That is a fact. However, the narrative has been that a police officer's job is one of the most dangerous in America. And we know that's false. Particularly when you look at the ratio of cops that have been killed by citizens and civilians versus civilians, particularly unarmed civilians, killed by police. I mean, are we having the right conversation? I don't think we are. I really don't. I don't think that we've it's been a lot of shouting and finger-pointing to this point. And for what? So everybody can be afraid of one another. Everybody can pick a side. And that's sad. That's sad that I got to live in a nation that thrives on that, that thrives on that fear and that division. It's frightening. So, yeah, you can say I'm in a pissy mood tonight. But we're going to work through it. We're going to talk about it. Well, also on the antimedia.org, which very quickly I need to point out that we are being broadcast on www.ucy.tv/TAMR for the Antimedia Radio. And you can check us out every night, Monday through Friday. Our wonderful founder, director, president, El Presidente, Nick Burnaby. It's coming at you Mondays and Wednesdays. Myself and Mr. Gibson, who is tied up at the moment, are available Tuesdays and Thursday nights, and LeVon on Friday. But, and you can also check out any rebroadcast YouTube. Just type in Anti-Media Radio, and there we is. But, you know, the it's just fear and division. That's all it is. And for what? Who benefits at the end of the day? That's the questions. We need to start asking those questions. Who's making the dollar off this? But Mr. Gibson referenced it in the first hour, wanted to touch on this a little bit more, about the CIA armed Syrian rebels. They had a group that just beheaded a 10-year-old boy, and they put it on video. I mean, your tax dollars went to arming and training these Syrian rebels. Your tax dollars. Bitching about the money that you have to spend, and I have to spend. We all have to spend. But they claim the youth was a captured Palestinian, 10-year-old boy, fighting for Palestine. But it surfaced online Tuesday morning, and it's absolutely horrible. If you have seen it, I really don't encourage anybody to go look for it, because you have to be pretty bent to even just be able to watch it without just, ugh, gross. Your tax dollars. Why are we still in the Middle East? Why aren't we asking these questions? Instead of who's going to be president, who's going to save us? Nobody's going to save us. It's going to be business as usual. Especially not those two. Those two have preached war since the very beginning of this campaign. Both of them, both candidates, because let's go ahead and face it, Bernie's out of this thing. We know he is. He's already pledged his support to Hillary Clinton. There'll be probably a little bit of drama during the DNC, but, you know, what are you going to do? Play it up for the TV cameras, and eventually Hillary will get it, and there'll be a bunch of confetti, and everybody can start wishing that we had a woman president finally. And, you know, bear in mind, we were talking about in the previous hour, there are much better choices for a woman president than Hillary Clinton. Jill Stein is definitely one of them. Kind of like her. She's, you just need to Google her and check her out. If you haven't kept up with her already, she's got some pretty cool stuff to say. It's got some great stuff to say about Snowden. And I'll leave it at that. Gotta save us. Gotta save us from this. And meanwhile, your tax dollars went to cutting the head off of a 10-year-old boy. And, of course, we have the situation going on in Turkey, which, you know, why is there so much opposition to WikiLeaks? Excuse me. Releasing the at first they said over 1,000 documents, but the story that we have up on antimedia.org states that they have over 3,000 documents, and I believe, like, I want to say it's 500,000. I have to go back over to the page, but yeah, the over 500,000 emails. I mean, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. And, of course, we've expected a media blackout in Turkey. But now it kind of seems like maybe more than just Turkey doesn't want WikiLeaks talking about this. So I'm curious to see what communique that they have. And we'll be waiting. The first batch is 300,000 emails and 500,000 documents. So, but then suddenly, as soon as they announced that on Twitter, they announced that their page was being attacked, a cyber attack. So it's very interesting to to see who and what is behind that attack and why that information is so important that it needs to be suppressed. Man, these are some strange times we live in. And we need to start talking about how we can make it better. And not better for everybody as a whole. Let's just start with the people next door. You know? I mean, how many of you listening to this broadcast really know your neighbor? I mean, really genuinely know your neighbor. Man, you gotta get your gang together. And you start in your community and you work your way out. And it starts spreading like a virus. Just like this awful, nasty sickness that we have. That only apparently the United States government can save us from. Psych! So, I'm in a loss for words. I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of living under this fear. And that's why this discussion needs to rage on.